Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Romans 12:2. This is Resistance and Reformation on the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. The remarkable explosion of wealth, knowledge, and technology that occurred during the Renaissance and the Enlightenment completely reshaped human society. No institution was left untouched. Local communities were shaken from their sleepy timidity and thrust into the hustle and bustle of mercantilism and urbanization. The church was rocked by the convulsions of the Reformation, the Counter-Reformation, Anabaptism, deism, and neo-paganism. Kingdoms, fiefs, baronies, and principalities began to take the torturous path toward becoming modern nation-states. Such revolutionary changes are not without cost. Ultimately, the cost to Western civilization was devastating. Immorality and corruption ran rampant. Disparity between rich and poor became endemic. Ruthless and petty wars multiplied beyond number. Even the old horrors of abortion, infanticide, abandonment, and exposure began to recur in the urban and industrial centers for the first time since Christendom had become the dominant world power. Vincent de Paul was born in 1581 for just such a time as this, to tackle just such problems as these. Raised the son of a peasant farmer in Gascony, he surrendered to the ministry at the age of 15. His father sent him to study theology at the seminary in Dax, and then later at the University of Toulouse. In 1599, he was ordained at the age of 19. A short time later, while on a journey along the coast of the French Mediterranean, he was abducted by Barbary pirates and sold into slavery in Tunis. In captivity for several years, he served a succession of masters before at last regaining his freedom in 1607. At first, Vincent journeyed to Rome to study, but in 1609 he was sent back to France on a mission to King Henry IV, the former Protestant from Navarre, who had converted to Roman Catholicism in order to gain the crown. Once in Paris, he resumed his theological studies at the Sorbonne, the prominent college at the University of Paris. In 1612, Vincent was sent as the pastor of the Church of Saint Menard in Clichy-la-Garenne, a suburb of Paris northwest on the Seine. There, he also served as a chaplain and tutor to the prominent Florentine Gondi family, financiers of the powerful Medicis. Despite his luxurious surroundings, elite associations, and comfortable living, Vincent became passionately concerned for the plight of the poor and the neglected. He increasingly devoted himself to an outreach to the decayed gentry, the deprived peasantry, unwanted children, and convicts in France. In 1622, Vincent established a new religious order, the Congregation of the Lazarites, to care for marginalized poor in the city of Paris. Once again, attracting the attentions of the court, he was appointed by King Louis XIII as the royal chaplain to the imprisoned galley slaves in the city. He successfully recruited hundreds of workers to take vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience to devote themselves to the needy, both in the city and in the surrounding towns and villages. He also conducted renewal retreats for the institutional clergy at a time when local parishes were riven with dispiriting corruption, immorality, and apathy. In the ensuing years, He mobilized hundreds of Christians for charitable work and established innumerable institutions, hospitals, shelters, foundling centers, orphanages, and almshouses, all throughout Europe. At the death of Louis XIII in 1643, Queen Anne had her husband's will annulled by Parliament, making her the sole regent of France for her infant son, Louis XIV, and promptly appointed Vincent de Paul as her spiritual advisor and royal chaplain. His influence at court helped to spur a fresh spiritual revival at a particularly dire day in the life of the church and in the culture of the West. Despite its many advances in art, music, medicine, science, and technology, the Renaissance and the Enlightenment were essentially nostalgic revivals of ancient pagan ideals and values. The dominating ideas of the time were classical humanism, pregnable naturalism, and antinomian individualism, or in other words, godlessness, materialism, and hedonism. Taking their cues primarily from the ancient civilizations of Greece and Rome, the civic and cultural leaders of the epoch were not so much interested in the Christian notion of progress as they were in the heathen ideal of innocence. Reacting to many of the artificialities and contrivances of the medieval period, they dispatched the Christian consensus it had wrought with nerve-aiding aplomb. In short, they threw the baby out with the bath. Vincent made it clear to his fellow laborers that merciful service in such a time as this is not an option for the believer. It is mandatory. By the time he died in 1660, the charitable relief movement he had sparked was alive and well, alert to the threat against the innocents that inevitably comes when men turn their hearts away from Christian truth and toward the delusions of this world. To this day, all around the globe, members of the Society of Vincent de Paul continue the momentum that he began by modeling a life of obedience to the truth and a commitment to both resistance and reformation. I'm George Grant on the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. For more information and for resources, go to georgegrant.net or adoringgod.org.